No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
We've all been stuck in a dinner routine rut, bored with the same takeout options, or eating a bowl of cereal for dinner. But picking tonight's meal doesn't have to be stressful. Here's an idea. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with premium meals delivered right to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Your meal options are endlessly delicious with a team of over 160 innovative chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Cook Unity offers a variety of over 400 meals for every palate. Cook Unity has flexible programs that you can pause, skip, or cancel at any time. Find the perfect plan for your dietary needs and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/rut or enter code RUT before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/rut.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host, Patrick Lyons. Chase Dolander, start number four. The best yet. We'll get into that one during the Rockies' win over the Cleveland Guardians on Thursday. We've got seven outfielders for maybe five spots. How is that going to shake out? Details on the 30th anniversary celebration and some bad news about one of the Rockies' top prospects. But let's get things started with Thursday's win over the Guardians. It was a 6-3 affair for the Rockies, who've now won two in a row. They had not won a game in close to a week. They've been playing a little bit better, scoring some runs today in the 6-4 victory, 11 hits to Cleveland's 10. But the story is Chase Dolander, who throws four innings of shutout ball, walks two, allows two hits, but does not allow a single runner to reach second base. Three strikeouts as well. He ends up throwing 59 pitches, 36, four strikes, and he sat in his fastball. He sat about 96.0 up to 97.8 miles an hour, and then his final pitch of the day, he gets Yonkenzie Noel, a.k.a. Big Christmas. Talk about a guy with a great nickname, but Big Christmas, Yonkenzie Noel. Strikes out looking on Dolander's fastest pitch of the day, 98.1 miles an hour. A solid, solid performance for a guy that the coaching staff has continued to speak highly of and continue to feel like he's going to figure it out and that he has the tools to be successful and simply needs experience. And he's getting that here in spring training. Will he get that in the starting rotation? Check out the Rockies Insider newsletter on my Substack, patrickdlyons.substack.com. But it was just an excellent affair overall by Dolander. His day gets started with a five-pitch walk to Brian Rocchio, who he struggled to throw strikes to in Rocchio's second at-bat. I think it started off at a 3-0 count, so struggled there. But all four balls really outside the zone, somewhat notably. I mean, pitch two and five, you could say kind of missed, but they missed by at least two and a half baseball lengths. Pitch four, fastball right down the pike. Walks Rocchio, but then turns around, gets a fly ball, from Tyler Freeman, and then Kyle Manzardo in his at bat, the number three hitter. Rocchio gets caught stealing thanks to a pickoff by Dolander. That's helpful because Manzardo singled to right fielder Zach Veen, and then a line out by Gabriel Arias. So you had a lineup that was missing Jose Ramirez, but still a lot of other guys that are going to be key players for the Guardians this year. In the top of the second, Colorado Springs born, but not Colorado raised, Will Brennan flew out to left fielder Nick Martini. Noel called out on strikes, as he would be in his second at bat of the day. Daniel Schneeman lines out to McMahon, 1-2-3 inning in the second. Now going into the third, we had only seen Dolander go three innings once. That was in his second start against the Diamondbacks, where he gave up three runs. No, he gave up four runs. He gave up a three-run home run to Eugenio Suarez, which would have been negated if Tyro Estrada had turned that double play to end the inning. Then gave up the solo home run to A.J. Vukovich. But he starts the third by getting a pop-up from catcher Austin Hedges. Angel Martinez flies out to left. Rocchio walks in that second at-bat. Tyler Freeman, a little tapper, right back to Dolander. So he finishes the third, comes out for the fourth. The hope was that he could go 4-5 innings. And while he did only go four, you like that he got his pitch count up a little bit higher to 59 with a little under 2 weeks of games left. Remember, the Rockies' final game of the spring is a Tuesday down in Fort Myers, Florida. Strange one there. So their final Cactus League game will be Monday the 24th. So, you know, we're talking basically a week and a half left. And next Monday, St. Patrick's Day, which Rockies are hawking a St. Patrick's Day cap, there isn't actually even a game on the 17th. So take that for what it's worth. So Dolander should still get two more starts this spring. But in that fourth inning, Dolander gave up another single to Kyle Manzardo, who, if you watched this game, which was on television, you had Mark Stout on the play-by-play call. He did a solid job filling in for Drew Goodman. You had Ryan Spielberg's pointing out, hey, Kyle Manzardo's got some Daniel Murphy vibes, but a young Daniel Murphy vibes, not the ones in which, you know, he came to the Rockies. So Manzardo on first, Gabriel Arias makes the first out, fly ball to right. Second out, Will Brennan strikes out swinging, and Noel gets called out on strikes for the third and final out of the fourth. So the last two hitters he faces, he gets the sword. He gets the strikeout, and that's where his day ended. And Dolander, you know, he looked pretty spry in the post-game conversation. Buddy really liked what he saw. You'll be able to get an opportunity to see some of that video post-game from both Dolander and Bud Black over on the Rockies Insider YouTube page, where there's tons of spring training video interviews with players talking about, you know, what they were working on during the offseason, what their goals are for this year, various struggles that they were forced to overcome this year. But Dolander, a lot of video of Dolander, a lot of Bud Black talking about Dolander, who was just solid. He was just really good and showed you what his potential could be and what his potential is with those four shutout innings. Takes his 12.15 ERA, drops it down to 7.59. Again, these are kind of small sample sizes. Guys are working things out. You're not seeing a ton of pitchers with dominant numbers right now, but you see what he is capable of. And you think, well, you know, you do have to be cautious of his innings. You can't necessarily keep him in the rotation for 30 starts this year. Baseball just isn't that kind of game anymore for something seemingly as simple as 30 starts. That's somewhat of a rarity. But, you know, he threw 118 innings last year, which was a step up from the 89 he threw in competitive games with the University of Tennessee in his draft year after he was selected by the Rockies ninth overall in the 2023 draft. Rockies shut him down to limit those innings, because keep in mind, those 89 innings in those 17 games basically were from February through May, right? So a, you know, much more than he would have pitched for the first half of a minor league season. That's college baseball for you, right? So they shut him down, got the 118 last year. You know, maybe you're able to get him to about 140 this year, which is going to be close to 30 starts, but you got to just make sure that you don't overtax him. And you might have to send him down to AAA if he starts the year on the opening day roster, or, you know, you got to just make sure you limit those innings just a little bit to protect him in that way. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with him possibly making the rotation. I talked about it and reported on this earlier in the week that there has been some discussion inside the Rockies coaching staff that they could go with a four-man rotation to start the year. And that, of course, is because they don't play five consecutive games until the start of week two, right? That's not until Sunday, April 6th at home. So you can kind of get away with that for a little while. You can have a bullpen game if you need in that Sunday, April 6th game. And then at that point, you can go forward. And if Gomber starts the year on the IL, he can come off in time to make the April 12th start. So a lot of things that still need to get figured out for the Rockies, and in particular with their outfield situation, because Brent Doyle, of course, is going to be the only one that you know you can pen into a spot in the outfield, into center field. You feel confident about Nolan Jones. You saw what he was able to do in 2023. You like what Jordan Beck has done in the last 2 years in the minors, and you saw flashes of it last year before the injury, not as much after the injury, unfortunately, with that plate going into his hand. But today, he put a big charge into the ball. Today, he was able to homer, real nice ball that got out really quickly, his second of the spring, and actually staked the Rockies to a 6-0 lead. He hit that ball off of Hunter Gaddis, who I believe last year gave up only one home run to a right-handed hitter. And this was one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball last year. 78 games pitched, 1.57 ERA, 6-3 record, not too bad. He was in a lot of high leverage situations. So gives you a little bit of an idea of the caliber of player that Beck homered off of there. 411-foot shot, 111.6 off the bat. So Beck kind of showing that he needs to do a little bit more, and he was able to do that, answered the call there in the sixth inning with that home run. Also answered the call by shifting over to center field. Now, Brenton Doyle, I saw an original version of the lineup. I'm not sure if that lineup ever saw the light of day. Maybe it did somewhere. Someone probably noticed it at some point. I listened to as much of the game as possible, watched as much of it as possible. So I imagine they touched on the fact that Doyle was scratched from this game. He was originally supposed to be the DH, which maybe gives you an idea. They wanted to get him off his feet out in center. So, okay, we'll let you hit. We'll let you DH. He ends up coming out, and then Zach Veen goes into the game. He goes into right. Beck goes over to center field, and then you had Nolan Jones go from left field to DH, and Martini went from right to left. So hoping that Doyle is all right. But Doyle is the one guy that you know that he's got a spot on this roster. After that, who else is it going to be? Zach Veen has probably been the loudest of anybody, and yet he might be the guy that's on the outside looking in more than anyone else. Should also point out that while Jordan Beck homered today, Jacob Stallings hit two home runs today, something he had never done in his 9 years in the majors. Over 500 games played, he homered twice. Job was not in jeopardy by any means, but it's nice that he got a little charge into the ball. The guy they call Coach, because he was the oldest guy on the team. He's the oldest position player. Scott Alexander is just a touch older than him, but Stallings, two home runs. Nice job overall. Nolan Jones has really started to heat up. He's been a player that, again, the upside is undeniable, but you have to be able to perform. These are spring games. These are games where, in theory, you don't have to perform quite in the same capacity, right? That's kind of one of the issues the Rockies have right now is there is no window of patience, for lack of a better term, because you've got so many guys knocking on the door that if you're not getting the job done, you might as well open the door and give that guy knocking an opportunity. There's only three outfield spots, and yet there are seven guys that are trying to fight for a spot on the opening day roster, not to mention Yankiel Fernandez, who's already been sent down and reassigned to minor league camp, not to mention Benny Montgomery, who with a big first half could work his way onto the 40-man roster and in major league debut in the second half. Sterling Thompson, the player the Rockies raved about when they got him in that compensation pick for when Trevor Story was both not traded and held on to and given a qualifying offer, which he rejected. There's a couple other outfielders, Charlie Condon, Robert Kalish, Cole Carrig. There's a lot. So you don't have a lot of wiggle room. You know, you've created a lot of good competition, which I think is positive, but you've got too many outfielders right now. That's the bottom line. So Nolan Jones was on the Schneid, seems to be off it just a little bit, went 4-for-4 on Wednesday with a double, 3 RBI, had a double and a walk on Thursday, batting average a lot more solid at .263, but you look at his on-base percentage, not great at .317. Even worse, his slugging is only at .316, but we know what he can do defensively with that 100th percentile arm, not 99th percentile. He's got the best arm in baseball, according to Baseball Savant, according to StatCast. But Zach Veen gets the nod to lead off in place of Brenton Doyle, and he hits a bases-loaded triple on Wednesday. On Thursday, he stole a bag. Third base, too, should be noted. Walked twice, showed a lot of patience in that first at-bat to start the game. You like to see that. So he went over two with those two walks. Sean Bouchard came in off the bench as a pinch hitter. I point that out because it was noted on the broadcast by Mark Stout that was Bouchard's job, because that might be his job come regular season. You're not going to play much, but we are going to bring you into games late off the bench. And you know what? You might get an at bat and you might not even get to play the field because he's not a strong defender. That's one of the reasons that despite his .367 batting average this spring, and despite his 1,100 OPS, the defense is somewhat of a detractor, and he doesn't have quite the same track record in the majors as someone like a Nick Martini, who is, he's got his own detractors in a sense because he's a non-roster invite. He's not on the 40-man. Sean Bouchard is on the 40-man roster. Sam Hilliard is on the 40-man roster, and at the end of last year, it became apparent that the Rockies could only keep one left-handed hitting, wrong side of 30 years old outfielder, and they decided to go with their homegrown guy in Sam Hilliard, and I think rightfully so because Sam played so well in the second half, just incredible, and he's been struggling this spring in 28 at-bats. He struck out 15 times. He's 2-for-28. Only three walks, the 15 strikeouts, not great. Jordan Beck right behind him with 14 strikeouts, but Beck does have the two home runs. He's batting .222, so a little bit more favorable for the guy that I think everyone thought was going to be the starting right fielder on opening day. And now that's a little bit in question because of the play of Zach Veen, because of the play of Nick Martini, who could fill that Jake Cave role. And he goes 3-for-3 on Thursday and is looking every bit the part of the player that began last year with two home runs on opening day. So I think going into spring training, the favorites for the final two outfield spots, assuming you were going to go with five outfielders versus four. The fifth outfield spot really is just your final bench spot. But I think going into spring, Sam Hilliard was your number four outfielder because he can play center field. And Bouchard was probably going to be that guy that was going to occupy the last spot on your bench because he's a good at bat. He is a very good at bat. In his limited time in the majors, a lot of that has to do with injuries, but in his limited time, he's a good at bat. He is basically Connor Joe with a lot less experience. And now, I mean, shoot, Bouchard is probably at the age that Connor Joe was when the Rockies first brought him in. So, you know, definite potential there at the plate. Definite potential. So I think spring started with Hilliard and Bouchard. And now we might be looking at Veen and Martini as four and five. And even still, Veen as your number four, well, wait a minute. He needs to get regular at-bats. How are you going to make that work? Is it going to be somewhat of a platoon between Veen and Beck? Is it basically going to be a corner outfield platoon between Nolan Jones, Veen, and Beck? Again, if you're Zach Veen, you like the sound of that because you're on the big league roster, you're making your debut. You might also like the idea of, man, we've got four of these young outfielders getting a lot of playing time at the same time. And maybe you stick one of them in at DH and you give Chris Bryant some rest, which he is going to need. And you'd rather him get that rest and not see live big league pitching than one of those young outfielders. So on one hand, that's great. On the other, how much harder is it going to be for one of those guys to get into a rhythm? And how much harder is it going to be to give an opportunity to the guys that are up next, the Yankiel Fernandezes of the world, the Sterling Thompsons, Benny Montgomery, several more that are more of second half players, but Yankiel Fernandez and Sterling Thompson, they're going to be batting in the middle of that Isotopes lineup to start the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But Zach Veen does provide that speed on the base paths, but he did say on Thursday morning that, hey, look, Veen's electric. You know, he definitely has a swagger about him and not those exact words, but he's got a swagger about him and we like that and we're not going to try to change that. He did say that. And so you saw that fifth stolen base on Thursday off of Austin Hedges, a solid defensive catcher that extended Veen's lead on the team with five stolen bases. The other leaders, if you will, all have two or less, but that fifth stolen base ties Zach Veen for most in the Cactus League with three other players, including a certain Ellie De La Cruz. Not too shabby. I'll get to the bad news before the good news. Bad news being Charlie Condon, the Rockies' top hitting prospect, third overall pick in the 2024 MLB draft out of the University of Georgia. Player who was the Golden Spikes Award winner for his play in the corner outfield spots and third base and a little first base. But he exited the game on Tuesday in the backfields, one of the minor league games that goes on, which it's one of the cool things about spring training is if you don't have a ticket to a game, you can watch the minor league games on the backfield. Sometimes they're at night. A lot of times they're still during the day, but you can just go to those games for free. Probably get a ton of autographs too, if you know who the players are, because a lot of times they don't have their names on the back. But he exits the game on Tuesday after diving for a play in the outfield. There was a lot of hope that this was just a precautionary move, right? Something, a play like that can happen, especially on a diving play, or even if you get hit by a pitch. There's a lot of adrenaline going through these athletes' body. It's a hell of a drug. So, hey, just come out of this game. This game is absolutely meaningless. We'll get you checked out. Get some rest, wake up in the morning next day. We'll see what the situation is, right? Like if you've ever been in a car crash, I know I'm feeling good. And then as the day goes on, all of a sudden, man, my neck hurts. And I haven't even talked to a lawyer yet. You know, I'm not one of those guys who's faking it. My neck hurts. It takes time for that to happen. MLB.com and MLB Pipeline reporting that, no, this was not precautionary. It's believed to be a significant injury to his left wrist, the glove side. Rockies need to do some more imaging, more examinations in order to really determine the severity of this injury. Really a shame because Condon missed some time, not a lot, just a couple of games here and there. He didn't want to miss games. He wanted to play. He wanted to grind it out. Had a bit of a thumb issue when he did finally debut with Spokane, who's they were trying to win the Northwest League. So he played through that. He wants to play. He wants to get better. He wants to be a big leaguer. And you only do that by playing, not by sitting out because you have a little bit of an injury issue. You have to learn how to play through those things. Unfortunately, in professional sports, you get to do that. You can't just have sick days. So he played through that. His numbers suffered a little bit. There are some questions about his swing. That was one of the things that I was asked about by Ben Lindbergh and Meg Rowley of Fangraphs Effectively Wild podcast that dropped Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. Check that out. I'm really honored to be a part of that show. Somewhat of a season preview of the Rockies and a franchise explanation of what they've been doing for the last 32 seasons. So appreciate them having me on so you can listen to a little bit about that and some of the questions that folks do have about Charlie Condon and his swing. So really bad news in terms of Charlie Condon, hoping that he can get back, not miss too much time, won't need a plate in his hand like Jordan Beck did last year, God forbid. But in brighter news, on the brighter side, 30th anniversary celebrations were announced by the Rockies this week, just a couple days ago. Had a lot of people reach out to me as they've slowly started to realize, oh yeah, 2025 is the 30th anniversary of Coors Field. Oh yeah, huh. Are the Rockies going to do anything for the 30th anniversary? Well, they are. It's been a slow rollout. Right now, it looks like there's one event, and they only announced it after the promotional schedule was released. Sometimes the Rockies can do things that way where it just takes a little bit of time for them to build that momentum, if you will. So I think they're going to do a lot more celebrating. Haven't seen a 30th anniversary logo just yet. They did have one of those back in 2023 for the 30th anniversary season. We'll see if we get a 30th anniversary logo for Coors Field. But it's going to be Saturday, April 26th. Hey, that date sounds familiar. It should. That was the first official game over at Coors Field. Dante Bichette's walk-off home run into the night, 14th inning off Mike Remlinger of the New York Mets. That's how Coors Field opens. Talk about setting a precedence. Absolutely incredible. Well, it's fitting because Blake Shute bomber Dante Bichette will be returning to Coors Field. He's going to throw out the first pitch. There's also a special 30th anniversary ticket package, which means the giveaway shirt that you might be seeing on any of the promotions or emails or online. You don't just get that for showing up. You do have to buy that special ticket package. I want to say maybe $20 is where that might start at, something like that. But you do have to get the special package that could sell out too. So if you're looking to get that special Dante Bichette shirt, got to make sure you get those tickets early. It's a 110 game against the Reds, an unusual Saturday 110 game. They're going to be celebrating the 95 season and having general 90s themed atmosphere, which should be really cool. And they're going to have some game used baseballs, of course. It's going to be available at the Authentics kiosk. I know they're going to have a special package where like a hot dog and a beer or a medium fountain drink and a super dog is $5, which still doesn't seem that cheap to me. Like it's very affordable in 2025, but I'm like, was it actually $5 back in 1995? Maybe. I don't know. They're also going to have an exclusive Coors Field 30th anniversary lager, which is going to be brewed inside of the Sandlot Brewery, which is kind of cool. Sandlot Brewery, famous for creating Blue Moon. That's right. It was under a different name when they first got it started. People went wild over it, and Coors decided, hey, wait a minute. We need to kind of repackage this thing because we are onto something. And yeah, Blue Moon got its start right at 20th and Blake. And the Rockies also announced that if you want to go someplace to watch the Rockies' first game of the season, not the home opener on April 4th against the A's, but their first game, which isn't actually on opening day, on the proper MLB opening day 2025. That's March 27th, a Thursday. Rockies don't have a game that day, unfortunately. Not their fault. But March 28th is the start. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida. Rays versus Rockies. The event's going to begin at 1 p.m. They'll have drink specials, all kinds of different things going on. You can watch on the 66-foot LED screen and get ready for the 2:10 first pitch for that one. You probably also might have heard, if you follow me on social media, at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, the plans that the Rays had, the renderings. I mean, they had a financial plan in place. It was, you just needed the final domino to fall. It was just a foregone conclusion. They were going to build a new stadium in St. Petersburg and stay there. That deal has fallen through. Everything that has gone down, dominoes in the wrong direction. They've stood themselves back up. The dominoes are back fully erect and not toppling over. In fact, those dominoes may need to be shipped to another city because MLB is pressuring Stu Sternberg, the owner, the primary owner of the Rays, to sell the team because, you know, these stadium plans have fallen through and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to work anything else out in that area. And it just remains to be seen how this situation is going to resolve itself. And it has to resolve itself before baseball can expand. And baseball wants to be expanding in the next 5 years or so. Manfred's contract is up in 2029, and they want to have that figured out by then. And you can't make that announcement until all 30 teams are nestled safely in their home cities and loving their ballpark. Because one of the things any city that doesn't have Major League Baseball can do is convince an owner to move the team to that city. Well, if all 30 teams are situated nicely, now all of a sudden, you just got to pony up that $2 billion or $2.5 billion for an expansion fee. I discussed this in a very thorough video over on YouTube. You may have even listened to the podcast. You can search for those if you just want to listen to the audio, but you can also watch over on YouTube 2 hours straight talking about all the different cities. I think there's 20 plus that have a potential. Almost 10 have groups already in place. The Nashville team, the Nashville Stars, actually unveiled what their caps are going to look like. They don't have a team yet, but they do have caps ready just in case when that time comes. So there's a lot of cities that want Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball wants those cities to be fighting over two new opportunities. But if there's a third opportunity and a fourth, well, all of a sudden, I'm not going to be paying $2 billion. I could do it a lot cheaper if I buy those Rays. So you've got to get the Rays settled. Does that mean baseball is going back to Montreal? Are they going to have to move? Is one of the towns in the area going to have to pony up something for a deal to get done? We'll have to wait and see. But the Rays, the entire organization is in shambles. And if you want to know more about those shambles, this is not a good segue. I love my segues. I thought, how cute do I want to be when I plug at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons on social media? And I decided to not be cute, and then I'm paying the price for a really, really awful segue. Rockies Insider as well, doing the TikTok thing for some videos over there, and a lot of spring training interviews over on the YouTube channel. Please, please, please check that out. Got a nice little treat for you coming up too this weekend, a conversation I had with author Will Bardenwerper. Great book called Homestand, just came out on Monday. It's called Homestand, Small Town Baseball and the Fight for the Soul of America. Please, please, please go check that book out. It's I highly recommend it. Very good stuff. But you'll listen to that audio this weekend, and you'll continue to give me momentum on the social medias, in the views, in the likes, in the comments, in the reviews. All of those things actually go a really, really long way. And so I appreciate you joining me today and giving me that momentum to finish out this week strong, go into the weekend even stronger. But hey, as I like to say, momentum, well, it can only be as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.